think that preachers preach about money all the time. I preached, I think, one Sunday morning on tithing in 17 years. This will be the second one. I got to thinking that's 884 Sunday morning services. Two out of 884. So if you just happen to be here this morning for the first time, please take that into consideration. Don't say, well, I went and finally heard that preacher, and all he preached about was giving money. I knew it. That's all they're out for. I knew it all along. That's the way he is. I heard it all. The only thing, you either, out of 884, it's happened twice on Sunday morning, and you just happen to be here. The only thing I can figure out is you must need it. The Lord knew when to have you here, I reckon. I don't know. Don't get mad at me. But two, really, I ask forgiveness of that, not preaching it more. That's part of the Word of God. That's part of the Word of God. And I thought, Lord, I'm failing you. I preached on giving several times on Sunday night. We take out special offering. But an entire message just on tithing, I think once besides this morning, in 2,652 services, or there, right at it. So if you run into somebody and said, I went and heard Danny preach, and he preached on money that much, make sure you told them that it was the second time out of 880 Sundays, okay? Make sure you tell them that, and then I don't mind if you tell them. Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27 this morning. Look at your Bibles, and I want to read you some scripture here in the book of Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Please hold your Bibles handy there, as I'll be asking you to turn to two or three other scriptures this morning and bring you what I believe the Bible teaches about tithing. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe, or as I heard one old timer say, tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. A man said one time, he said, well, tithe just means whatever you want it to mean. Your tithes are just giving whatever you think you ought to give. Now listen, the definition of the word tithe is tenth. Identified for you there in your Bible. You can't miss it. There's no way you can miss that unless you're trying to miss it. He said, it's holy unto the Lord. The tithe is the Lord. And verse 32, he substitutes the tenth for the word tithe. The tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. The word tithe means tenth. I want us to do a Bible study on the tithe this morning. And the Lord told those people, he said, whatever you get, one-tenth of that belongs to God. Back then, they didn't get paychecks like we get now with cash money. Many people didn't. A lot of them just lived off their land. So their crops were their tithe. That's why he said the fruit of the tree, whatever. A man grew 10 potatoes in his garden. One potato he would bring to the temple for an offering unto the Lord. 9 of them was his. If he grew 10 apples or pears or oranges, one of them went to the offering of the Lord. 9 of them was his. 1/10 of everything we get belongs to God. You don't even give it to him. It already belongs to him. An offering is, as a great preacher said many years ago, your offering doesn't even start until the tithe is taken out. That means 1/10 of what we have belongs to God, and then whatever else you want to give above that is considered your offering. You don't believe it? Let me show you in the Word of God this morning. First thing I want to say is, Abraham established the tithe. Go back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 14, and we're going to look here. Abraham was a sinner saved by grace before the law. Many people say, well, I don't believe in tithing because that's Old Testament Mosaic law. No, you're very wrong. Abraham paid tithes years and hundreds of years before Moses was ever born, before there ever was a Ten Commandments, before there ever was a law or a temple. Amen? Isn't that right? Now, don't get nervous on me this morning. If you're guilty, you can get it right today. And if you're not guilty, it won't bother you anyway. So this is something I've been doing ever since I've been saved. When they told me that a tenth of my income belonged to the Lord, I've been doing it ever since by the grace of God. And if a preacher preaches on it, it don't bother me a bit. I can just say, hallelujah, amen, help yourself. It might be that some of you need to get more serious about your Christianity and your Christian life. Here we go. Abraham established the tithe, Genesis 14 and verse number 20. Genesis 14 and verse 20. When he come back from the slaughter of the kings there, and he met this fellow Melchizedek, and the Bible said, and blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemy into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before the law. Abraham, a sinner saved by grace. You say, how do you know he's saved by grace? Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was a sinner before the law, saved by the grace of God. Other scriptures, Galatians 3:8. The chapter, the Sunday school lesson was in this morning about Abraham was justified by his faith in God. Romans 4:3, Genesis 15:6. He gave him to Melchizedek because Melchizedek, being a type of Christ on earth in the Old Testament, with his genealogy not being counted, without father, without mother, without descent, and he gave them to Melchizedek. He gave more to Melchizedek, type of Christ in the Old Testament, than most of God's people give to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Notice, in the Old Testament, before the law, Abraham had a place to take his tithes. Abraham didn't say, well, I'm going to give part of my tithes to so-and-so. I'm going to give part of my tithes to so-and-so. I'm going to give part of my tithes to so-and-so because they need help. He gave tithes of everything he had, gave it to Melchizedek. One thing I'm going to show you this morning is that God's people have always tithed, they have always given to the Lord, and they have always given it to a certain place during whatever time they happen to be living in. Secondly, Jacob practiced the tithe. Genesis chapter 28. Let me show you in the Bible now. All of this is way before the law. Genesis chapter 28, and let me show you what the Bible said. That great night when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled all night long, got fire knocked out of joint, and he finally won the victory. Notice, this was the closest Jacob had ever been to God. This is the closest, the most right with God Jacob had ever been in his life. He had sold out. God had revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob said in Genesis 28, verses 20, let me show you what he said. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob practiced the tithe. After that all night prayer meeting in which he wrestled with God, got closer to God than he ever had been, Jacob come out saying, God, if you're going to with me like this, if it's going to be this real all the time, God, if you're my God, I'm going to set up a rock here. I'm going to call it Bethel. You know what Bethel means? Bethel means the house of God. And he said, I'm going to give you one-tenth of everything that I've got. It belongs here and it belongs to you. Notice once again, that was before the law. Notice secondly, it was right when God moved in his life. That's very significant this morning, because I'm convinced this morning that when God really moves in a person's life and they get a little glimpse of glory and they get to start thinking that they're redeemed from hell and ain't going to go to hell when they die and going to walk on Gold Street giving that tenth, don't seem like a big deal. And God, this is the least I can do for what he's done for me. Jacob said, I'm going to give it to you, God. It's yours. I belong to you, and my tenth belongs to you. Which brings us to a great truth this morning. If you have a problem giving your tenth to God, It's a heart problem of not being close enough to God. You can always tell when you're getting backslid. Because when you get that paycheck and you start thinking, good night, that's a lot of money. I need that. It's not right for me to let my bills, people that I owe, go and give it to God. Well, is it right to let what you owe God go and give it to them? Now, don't get quiet now here now. This could be getting good if you'll just enjoy it. You say, why did I come this morning? Well, I don't know. The Lord wanted you here, I reckon. It might be that you've got a problem here you need to get taken care of. Jacob, when he got on right with God, he said, I've heard people for years and years say, I went to church for years and years, and I just put in $1, $5, and I give them a little organization every now and then, and I thought I was doing my part. They said, buddy, when they got right with God, when they really sold out, really got the church dedicated, they then have no problem with that tenth. Number three, Moses set forth the tithe as law. The verse that I read to you a moment ago, where we started, Leviticus chapter 27, and look at the last verse, verse 34. Leviticus 27 and verse 34. Moses set forth the tithe as law. It's a law back in the Old Testament days, during this time. Verse 34, these are the what? Commandments. These are the what? Not suggestions. They did not give them suggestions that if you want to, it's all right, and it's not all right. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Moses set forth the tithe as law. It was the seed of the land. It was the fruit of the tree. It was 1 out of 10 tomatoes. They brought it to the storehouse in Nehemiah 10:38. You might turn to that. And the people had to do it. He said, listen, we're God's people. We're out here in the wilderness. You've got to do it. One tenth belongs to the Lord. One tenth belongs to God. Notice again, they had a place where they brought the tithe to. Moses did not tell those people. Now, you people, if you make so much money this year, you be sure and give a tenth of it to God. You can take part of that tenth and give it to my rest home somewhere. You can take part of that tenth and maybe send it to the Red Cross. You can take part of that tenth and maybe help out a charitable organization or buy some poor kids something for Christmas. Just as long as you give it away. That is not what he told them. He said, that tithe is holy. It belongs to the work of God. And you bring it to the temple. Now, if you want to give somebody, buy somebody something for Christmas, that you do that out of your pocket. That's your money. You do not use God's money to support other organizations. The tithe is the Lord's, and the Lord's money belongs where the Lord's house is. That's right. That's right, brother. Moses commanded the tithe as law. Notice number four. Malachi commanded the tithe. Let's go to Malachi, last book in the New Testament. Last book in the New Testament. Malachi chapter number 4. Just before the Old Testament ended here, we have here in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 4, the great scripture there, command the tithe and showing us what it would do. And you also find out what happens here when you do not tithe. And the man and the woman who withheld their tithe. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Everybody looking at it? Will a man rob God? What a question. Will a man rob God? That's unthinkable, isn't it? It's unthinkable that a man would rob God. But he said, look at here. Will a man rob God? What did he say? Yet ye have robbed me, the Lord told him. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Hold your finger there just a second. God told him all the way through the Bible that tenth is holy unto the Lord. And if you hold your tenth in your hand that belongs to God, you are stealing, you are robbing from God. That's a pretty strong accusation. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean to you people this morning. This ain't to benefit me. I mean, I don't. A lot of people think the preacher gets all the money that comes in the church. I don't handle the money here. I'm not authorized to write checks.
I don't pay the bills. I receive a salary from the church, just like you receive a salary from wherever you work. This ain't helping me or hurting me one way or the other. I get the same regardless. A lot of people think, well, he gets all the money that comes in the church and pays the bill. You're a nut. You don't know what you're talking about. That ain't the way it works. You can ask anybody here. Let me show you. Where's the offering plates at? Somebody got them? Somebody done run off with it this morning. Look here. What would you think about a person if on Sunday morning, what would you think if the offering plate come by your aisle? And you were standing there and you saw a bunch of $20 bills and a bunch of $10 bills and you looked in there and went, And you looked this way and looked that way and nobody went looking. You reached and grabbed one of them 20s and stuck it in your pocket. You say, whoo, don't talk like that, preacher. That scares me to death. There's no way in the world that I'd reach in that offering plate and get one of them $20 bills. But whoo, if I was going to steal, I'd steal it. One of these ears out here somewhere. I wouldn't take it out of the church of God. Let me tell you something. If you made $200 this week, and you didn't put that $20 bill in, that's exactly what you've done. You're a thief. You're a robber. You're in the worst time. You're stealing from God. Lord have mercy, if you go steal it from the beer store. Not from God. That's where the gospel's preached. That's where the bills be paid. That's how the ministry goes out. That's what sends tracts out. That's what sends missionaries to foreign countries to get the people saved. Is the tithe offerings of God's people. Amen. For heaven's sake, people don't steal from God. He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, look at it. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Stop right there just again. Listen, have you ever wondered, some of you people, how come I can't never get ahead? How come I can't never have no money? How come it's just this, it's just that, never get ahead? It might be that if you'd start doing what you're supposed to and honor God with your tithes and offerings, He might bless you and make up for it. I'll guarantee you one thing. You can make it better off 90% of your income with the blessing of God on it than you can 100% of it with the curse of God on it. He can stretch it. Watch this. Next verse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You don't have a right to put them wherever you want them to go. God had a specific place for those tithes to go. That there be me meat. Definition of spouse. That there be me meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room enough to receive it. You know what God said? He said, you just start honoring me, put those tithes and offerings in the storehouse, and you watch what happens. I'll pour out the blessings on you. I'll bless you more than you ever thought you'd ever get. You'll wind up with more money than you had to start with. You'll wind up with it going further. And I'll prove me, the Lord said. Prove me. Try it if you don't believe it. Try it if you don't believe it. God can take that 90% and stretch it. You say, well, how in the world can he make $900 go farther than 1,000? He can do it. He made the children of Israel's shoes not wear out for 40 years. He fed 5,000 people with a little loaf of bread. He can stretch it. He can keep you from having to be sick. You're the doctor. Amen? He can. I mean, we all get sick every now and then, but I'm telling you, God can make it up to you. Malachi commanded the tithe. History is filled with people who were rich, who tithed, but they started tithing when they was poor. You don't see many rich people tithe. And they got more money. If a rich man got $1 million, he could give $100,000 and have $900,000 left for himself. And a poor man's got $500. And he can give 50 and have 450 left. But that poor man will come a lot closer to giving it than that rich man will. Something about money, it gets a hold of you. The more you get, the more you want, and you get real greedy and just want to hold it. That's one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make in your life. Let me tell you about Crowell, the man who founded Quaker Oat Company. He became rich off his product. He started giving 1/10 to God when he was only a poor man. Colgate, William Colgate, of the Colgate Company, done the same thing. Procter made ivory soap. They said in New York, you can make the best soap in the world. He did it, gave 1/10 of his income to God, and became a millionaire. Hyde, the man who invented the mentholatum. John D. Rockefeller Started out making $1.50 a week. And when he got his first payday of $1.50, his mama said, "Now, son, give a tenth of it to the Lord." That's why kids have a job. If they don't do nothing but mow grass, something, teach them at an early age, one tenth belongs to the Lord. John D. Rockefeller gave that tenth of that first $1.50, and he finally wound up with the blessings on him. And of course, a millionaire, many, many times over, he wound up giving 70% of his income. He had so much money, he didn't even know what to do with it. Wound up giving 70%. Some of those guys wound up giving 100% of everything they made because God blessed them so much. Isn't that something? Hey, let's go on a little bit further this morning. Number five. Here's what you've been waiting to hear. Everything's been Old Testament so far. Let's move into New Testament. Number five, Jesus Christ endorsed the tithe. First of all, look at Matthew chapter 5. All the folks that say, "Well, that's just for the Old Testament," Matthew is not in the Old Testament. I realize he hasn't died on the cross yet, but still, let me show you what he's saying. And then we'll go on further. Matthew chapter 5, Lord Jesus Christ endorsed the tithe. Matthew 5:17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I come to fulfill that Old Testament law." I believe in every bit of it. Everything of it that wasn't ceremonial, He carried right on through. Even after the death of the cross. Now, Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Flip over just a few chapters there. Book of Matthew, chapter 23. Let's get this one. Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse number 23. Matthew 23, verse number 23. Notice what the Lord said here. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." Notice, there were some things in the law more important than tithing. That's why you don't hear it 2 out of 800 Sunday mornings. There are more things that are more important. "Have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." That's what you get the other 800 Sundays. But, he said this, "These ought have done." He said, "You're right. You should have done the mercy, judgment, and faith." But notice the last part of verse. "And not to leave the other undone." Is that what your Bible says? The Lord said, "Now you Pharisees, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Making a big deal out of your tithe, your mint, your whatever little old thing you get, you make sure you tithe. But you pass over judgment, mercy, and faith. You should have done mercy, judgment, and faith. But don't leave your tithes undone." That's what He said. That's what that verse said. There's a way you can twist out of that verse of Scripture. He said, "Don't leave the other undone." Now, if you tithe, you're going to be surprised. I have been, for all these years that I've been doing it, I have been surprised. I've been surprised at several things. Number one, I'm surprised at the amount that you have left over. It's amazing how that God stretches it out. Number two, you'll be surprised at the deepening of your spiritual life. You'll grow spiritually if you're either. It's a known fact. You'll be stronger in the Lord. Number three, you'll be surprised at how easy it is to make it up to 90%. Number four, you'll be surprised at the ease of giving above the 10%, having an offering. Number five, it helps you to be a good steward of what God has blessed you with and what's left over. And number six, you'll be surprised at yourself because you didn't start doing it a long time ago. You'll be surprised. Number six, Jesus Christ is the tithe-receiving high priest of the book of Hebrews. You don't have to turn to it, but in Hebrews 7, 1 to 10, you can look at it when you get home for time's sake. Hebrews chapter 9, Abraham, the Bible said, paid tithes to Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the Old Testament appearance or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes the place of the high priest in Hebrews chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 9 and receive those tithes. Now listen. What I've read you through this morning, God already owns 10% of what you and I receive. That's right. And you say, well, I just don't believe that. Now, I know why you don't believe it. It ain't because it's in the Bible. It's because you don't want to do it. If it was the other way around, and I was saying God's going to give you 10% above what you make, and I showed you Scripture, you'd love it. You'd say, I believe that. Amen. Woo! But since it seems to be to your disadvantage, you say, I just don't know about that. Well, you can pay your tithes two ways. Willingly or unwillingly. Because they belong to God anyway. You say, oh, he's on this old IRS. I ought to pay them. Well, no, you don't. You don't have to. I mean, you can go to jail. You don't ever have to pay them. Really, it gets right down to it. You can die. But you've got to pay God. I've known a lot of Christians had to go to the hospital to have their tithes took out. Hey, I know this boy one time. He made $350. Well, it's been 15 years ago. His tithes were $35. He held them back that Sunday and said, good night, that's a lot of money. That's the way you know you're backsliding. You know you're backsliding, you start holding back them tithes. That's the first step right there. You're starting to backslide. And you know what? He held back that $35. He said, I'll catch it up later. He put that money in his billfold. Next morning, he woke up with an abscess too. Had to go miss a day's work. Had to go get his tooth took out. His tithe took out. Guess how much it was back then? $35. Get that tooth pulled. And he lost a day's work and hurt like crazy. You say, oh, it would have happened. I don't know if it would or not. God made you through Israel's shoes last 40 years. He can make your teeth not rotten. He can. You brush them and tithe. That's right, brother. Amen. Number 7. Lastly, the church is the New Testament picture of the storehouse, place for the tithe in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The church has the New Testament. Here's where a lot of Christians disagree. Here's what all people say. Well, I pay my tithes, but I tell you what, Brother Danny, I see somebody on TV and they're doing a good work and I send my tithes to them. No, you can send an offering to them. Your tithe belongs to your church that you're a part of. If you're a part of another church, that's where they belong. You say, I don't need it. Hey, man, we could put $10 million to work this month and not keep a dime of it for ourselves. We could put Ricky Bullock and them over in Germany printing Bibles, reaching the lost. I know about 100 other missionaries we could help. Don't ever think a church don't need it. Amen. My goodness, you're out of your mind. 1 Corinthians 16:1. New Testament, age of grace to the Christian. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, in the old Simon churches up in the mountain, they call it the collection. Don't take up the collection. People make fun of them. Hey, man, they're more right than you might think. That's Bible doctrine. That's Bible words. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, concerning the collection, see? There's that old word you see in the country churches. For the saints, as I've given order to the other churches. He's talking about churches, local churches. Even so do ye. How do you do it? Upon the first day of the week. What day is that? Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Look at your calendar. Saturday is the seventh day of the week, the Old Testament Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, let every one of you, not just the well-off people, everybody, the poor, the rich, the handicapped, the kid with a job at McDonald's, the whoever, let every one of you lay by him in store. Notice it uses that word store. Isn't that unusual? They use the same word they use in the Old Testament for storehouse. And he said, do it on the first day of the week when you meet together. Lay by. Listen, you know we take up an offering in here on Sunday morning? Because that scripture said, on the first day of the week, let every one of us take out as God has prospered you. See, if God's prospered you 1,000, you lay by 100. If God's prospered you 100, you lay by 10. If God's prospered you 400, you lay by 40. As God hath prospered him in the store on the first day of the week. Tithe belongs to the church. Don't belong to the preacher. Don't belong to the... believe it, didn't. He said, I couldn't see it. He said, one time I was in a service one time, and God got a hold of me. And he said, when God got a hold of me, I said, and I've been doing it ever since. Amen. God showed me. He said, there's a man called me the other day. He just called me one day this week. He might even be here this morning. I don't know. He called me and he said, I need some help. He said, I can't pay my doctor. He said, I got to get medicine. He said, I need some help. Can you help me? I said, I don't know. We might be able to. We help a lot of people. We get calls all the time. If we can, we can help you. And I give him the phone number of the man he could call. And he said, well, I need to get my medicine. He said, I called the social services. And I went up here to social services. And he said, they told me to call a church. And they refer people to us all the time. I don't care. That's fine. It's really the church's job anyway, if you really want to get scriptural about it. If the church had done what it's supposed to for 2,000 years, there wouldn't even be no welfare. The church is supposed to take care of people that need help. And there wouldn't be no need for all that stuff. Amen? But you know what we done? We decided, well, I decided I don't believe in that. I'm not going to give my tenth and all that. So God let the devil raise up crowds, and the government gets more than your 10% anyway. That's right. That's the truth. If America right with God and quit paying and start paying their tithes, taxes might go down. You know what that guy told me? He said, they told me to go get it from the church. And you know what he told me? He said, I kind of got mad at him. He said, hey, I've been paying my taxes to the wrong place. Maybe I need to start paying my taxes to the church. And I said, amen, brother. Amen. Call the government up and ask them for some help. Call Uncle Sam, tell him you can't get your light bill paid this week, or you're a little short on grocery money. Tell IRS to send you a check. Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Hey, if they owe you money, you might get it and you might not. If you owe them money, they'll see to it they get there. Maybe we've been paying our taxes to the wrong place. Maybe we've been giving God what belongs to Him. Hey, you need to see this morning, you need to see that God is all powerful, that God is supernatural, and that God can bless you if you'll do what He said right here in this book. And the church would never have, we don't do it anyway, but the church would never have to get out and sell donuts on the street somewhere. Everybody in the church would pay their tithes and give their offering. That's God's plan for financing a church, not selling donuts. Amen. One guy said, I just said, told the Lord, he said, I'm just going to shovel it out. And he said, I just keep shoveling it out and God keeps shoveling it in. And he said, I can't keep it all shoveled out. Much. He said, I believe God's got a lot bigger shovel than I have. That's right. I was preaching recently in a church. Pastor told me, he said, Brother Danny, I want to tell you something. He said, I won a man to the Lord not long ago. He said, this man, he hated two things. Give me that just hair on this, my boy. He said he hated two things. He hated preachers. And he hated that word tithing. He said them two things, he just absolutely hated them. I can't believe them. I give their money to that church. Not, one of them kind. He gave his to tithe. By the way, even people that ain't saved, they wind up blowing it on something. Yeah. I know people drink beer. I know people spend probably $150 a week on beer. That's a lot more than their tithes. Yeah. I know people spend much of their tithes they're on dog cigarettes. Yeah. Yeah. Or a lot of things, man, a lot of things. You're going to wind up giving it on something. With a curse, too. And he told me, he said, this man, he got to witness to him, this man got saved, and he cried right on his chest and laid his head on the preacher's chest and just said, oh, God, have mercy on me. God, forgive me. God, please. And the man got saved. And he said, that man got on fire for God, and he met the preacher out for lunch one day and took him to a restaurant. He said, preacher, he said, there's two things I always hated, tithing and preachers. And he said, now I love you for winning me the Lord. And he said, I reckon it's about time I started doing that other thing, too. Said here, he said, I want to give you a check here. He said, preacher, I got to thinking about it, and I got some catching up to do. And he gave that preacher a check. Preacher's got to stick it in his pocket. And he said, no, I want you to look at it. Preacher opened it up, and it's $10,000. That just happened a few miles from here. He said, I got a catching up to do, preacher. I've been robbing God. And I've been stealing all that. I want to be right. I want to lay down at night, I want my head clear and my heart pure before God. $10,000. My soul. And the preacher about shouted, you know, and had a heart attack. You say, my goodness, how could people do that? The Lord said, prove me. Prove me, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
You know one thing I believe, why God's blessed our church over the years? Because we've been free to give to other people. We give away more money here probably than a lot of churches take in the whole year. Give it away. We give away, I mean, probably counting what we spent on the bus ministry last year, maybe $70,000, $60,000 last year, just give away. You say, Brother Danny, that's not... You just watch God give it back. You watch God. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive it. The tithe is the Lord's, folks. And I'm saying this to help you. To say, hey, why don't you take care of this matter this morning? Take care of it. Say, from now on, you say, well, ain't no way I can give catch up on what I owe, preacher. Well, you don't say you have to do that. Just get right and start doing it from here on. From now on, Lord, everything you give me, a tenth, will belong to your house and to your work. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Maybe somebody needed this encouragement this morning. Maybe there's somebody here who says, Brother Danny, I used to be a tither, but I got backslidden, got out, and now I just come to church once in a while anyway, and I figure there ain't no use. Hey, you're in bad shape, friend. You're in bad shape. You bet this thing right. God will bless your work. God will bless your health. God will bless you. He said, prove me and see. Prove him. Put him to the test. You say, God, I'm going to give my 10. You say, well, I didn't even do it this morning. I'm going to write a check. Put it out. I'll leave offering plate. Lay them right here. Write a check. Put it out. Just make sure from now on, starting from this day forward, you're going to do it. We're not going to ask you to come forward this morning. We're going to ask you to sit right there in your seat just for a moment. And there's somebody here this morning with no one looking around, just between me and you. Say, preacher, you really hit a sore spot in my life this morning. This is something that I've had a problem with. But you showed me in the scripture this morning, and you nailed it down. And you showed me in the Word of God what it says. And from now on, by the grace of God, I want to start doing my best to be my faithful in my tithes and my offering. I've had a problem with this, and I need you to pray for me. I'm always giving grudgingly. I've always... do it with bitterness. I don't want to do it. You know what your problem is? You just ain't thankful enough for what God's done for you. You just ain't thankful enough for God's blessings. There's a lot of people in the hospital with cancer this morning. But if they had a job, they could get out and get a job. Don't you know they'd give their tenth? There's people in hell this morning. If they could come back, they wouldn't have a problem with it. Your problem is you just ain't thankful enough for what God's done for you. And you say, all right, preacher, you got me thinking. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm going to start this by the grace of God. Just raise your hand now, and I'll have a word of prayer for you. God bless 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 you. 15, 20 hands may be going up here this morning. Anybody else? Just be honest. God bless you. God bless you. By the grace of God, I'm going to start this. You watch God bless you. You watch God bless you. It may not be overnight, but you watch Him. He said, prove me. I'll pour out a blessing that you can't receive. After a message like this, our offering ought to go up from now on. And it really ought to. It really ought to. If everybody in here would do what you're supposed to with your tithes and offering, there's no telling what God could do right here in our church. Father, thank you for these that have come to raise their hands this morning. Thank you for asking for prayer. Thank you, Lord, that they got a desire to do better. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who was ashamed to lift their hand this morning. But you know they're under conviction and you're dealing with them. Help them to just realize, Lord, that all that's matter one day is if we was obedient to you. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless them. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we'd understand that as Christians under grace, that you didn't give us a specific command there in the Gospels or the New Testament, but surely, the least we could do as Christians under grace would be what they did in the Old Testament under law. God, surely we can do that. Help us just to have love and appreciation in our hearts. We pray now that you bless these that are making this choice, this decision right now. Lord, it's going to bless them. I pray, God, that you'd help them. I pray, God, that they'd learn, bring their tithes into the storehouse, and we'd just see your work go on for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.